Can we just praise the Lord right now?
Amen, amen. I want to give honor to Pastor. Thankful for the man of God in my life. I want to give honor to my wife. I want to give honor to Sister Laura. Because although Pastor might have given me a lot of words of wisdom, Sister Laura's almost always been there beside him saying the same thing or backing him up. And she's always given encouraging word. And I'm thankful for both of them and my wife. But if you turn to your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 through 18, I know most people can probably quote this. And that's all right. When you're there, just say amen. Amen. The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and on your feet shod with the preparations of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." My favorite verse on this one is the last one. It says, "Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." If you just put your Bibles down and pray with me, I want to preach today on damaged armor damages people. So if you just bow your heads with me and lift up your hands and just give God praise right now and ask Him to speak to you. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for what You've done in this house, Lord. We're thankful for Jefferson's service, Lord, for what we learned today, God. And I pray, Lord, today, God, we can let the flow through us today in this service in Ashtabula. I pray, Lord, that You would strengthen each and every person in here, God. And God, that You could use me as a vessel today, Lord, to preach the word today. And God, I pray, Lord, if we carried anything in here from this week, Lord, I pray that we can't just think about it right now, but we would focus on Your word and focus on You, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I don't know about you guys, but this week has been one of those weeks where you just want to kind of get home, put your head in a pillow, and hide from the whole world. I got moved up in December in a position where I don't have to grind parts anymore. I just have to, you know, ship them and make sure all the numbers are right. And the people are different. In the factory side, they might cuss and do all that, but at the end of the day, it's almost like your brother. You're there for 12 hours with them. You know, busting your butt all day, and you're just trying to make it through the 12-hour shift. And they're at the end of the day, they're probably the closest people to you. You see them more than you see your own wife. But I got into shipping, and there's two office ladies. Well, there was three, but she had a baby, so she wasn't there. But there's two office ladies, and they act like they run the place. And then there's the guy there who's the lead, and he lets them run him, and then he runs you. And so it's a great time. It's not. It's a lie. But every day it's like something else. It's something different. Every day it's, "Jerome, you messed up here. Jerome, you messed up there." And I'm cool with the white hat. I'm cool with the lead. The guy that likes me is the actual boss of the whole area over there. And they don't like that. They don't like that he likes to call me nicknames and we joke with each other. They don't like any of that. But this week was one of those weeks where it's just like every day. I got up early in the morning. I was like, all right, I'm ready for work. My mind was ready. I got to work, and it was right off the rip. Monday, this guy's in my face cussing me out. And if you talk to me like when I was like 12, 13 years old, I probably would have yelled back at him. But I felt like if I would have done that, I would have lost my witness. Because just that week, I had already had my Easter cards with me, and I was just about to hand them out in the factory. So it was just as of like I walk in there, it's not luck. I would say, I guess Satan just knew I was about to come in there and just try to witness to those people. And he just made this week 10 times harder. And I talked to a couple people and they said the same thing, that this week was just really hard. That every turn they looked, everywhere they looked, it was just something else. somebody else that was mad at them, somebody else that was making their week harder. And I told him, I said, I only think it's because Easter's coming up and the devil knows that we're trying to do something great. And we're just trying to pack the house out so that people can hear the word of God for probably the first time in their life. And when you have those weeks, I came home one night and I told Nicole about it and I vented to her. She probably doesn't like it, but I vented to her. I was like, I've been praying about it and I feel like my prayers go up to the ceiling to come back down. And God's like, just don't worry about that. Worry about handing the cards out and witness. I'm like, I got to talk to somebody. I'm losing my mind here. And so I talked to Nicole and Nicole's like sitting there like this, you know, okay. When I talk, okay. Everybody's probably saying amen in their heads for that one, but she's sitting there and she's taking it all in and I feel like it's going nowhere. I'm just telling her. I'm like, man, like I feel like I have nobody to talk to about this stuff. Well, God had kind of convicted me one day when I was in my car, I was praying. I just put some music on and I'm driving. It was just those 2 days. I just got cussed out the first time I got there. The second I clock in, and I'm tired. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to hear somebody cussing in my face. And I'm sitting there in the car. I'm like, God, what am I going to do today if he comes up and cusses to me? Because I don't know if I could take a third day of this. And God just told me to just put the armor of God on. Put the armor on that I say to put on. And so I started reading in Ephesians. And as I already read, I started reading about the breastplate of righteousness. And when you think about the breastplate of righteousness, sometimes that breastplate's not going to feel good to put on. Sometimes you get in the morning, you just don't want to feel righteous that day. Sometimes people just push you a little too hard. They press the button that you don't want to be pressed, but sometimes you just got to still put the breastplate on. Amen. Our everyday life routine should be to pray and put the armor of God on, because we know that the devil's always strapped up and ready for war. And we must submit to wearing the armor of God despite it being uncomfortable to you, because your flesh doesn't want to put on the armor of God. Your flesh wants revenge. Your flesh doesn't want to get cussed at. Your flesh wants to get those people back. But when you step out in your flesh, you take the armor off, you start yelling back, and you're not righteous then. You start cussing back. You've lost the righteousness then. You've lost the chance to witness to those people. That could be in your school. That could be in your college classes. That could be in your workplace. That could be anywhere. It could be the grocery store. But we must put on the whole armor of God. We must put it on to keep our flesh back, to make sure that we are living like soldiers for Christ. I put here as a note, when we live as soldiers for Christ, then we can be a tool for God to use us to save POWs. You don't know what POWs are, prisoners of war. And I teach to the youth kids all the time that this lifestyle isn't just, let's just wake up one day, go and get a college degree, go get education, get married, have kids and die, or retire, go on vacations. Like, I tell them that it's not that. I said, this walk with God is a war every day. But it's won if we walk the way that God wants us to walk. It's won when we put the armor of God on. When we finally stand up to be righteous rather than stand up to be just like the world. When we decide to tell the truth rather than to lie. The thing is when we walk like the world, we lose our witness. When we decide to take our vengeance just like everybody else would, we lose our witness. And if we want to save those that were once in the house of God praying and praising the Lord, or even just once called themselves Christians, then we have to walk different. And we got to put the armor of God on. This life, we live every day as a war. Not just to live life and die, but this is a life to being a soldier for Christ to help save all those POWs, prisoners of war. But we must first fight with the armor of God on us. There are so many POWs out there bound by addiction, bound by alcohol, past trauma, and they need a soldier. They need somebody that's got the full armor of God suited up and ready to fight for them and to take care of them. God has given us the greatest weapon in the Holy Ghost, because after we receive the Holy Ghost, the Bible says in Acts 1:8, it says that you receive power. Now that's not a superpower. You're not going to fly. You're not going to be able to see through walls. But you receive power to walk through the trials that the devil tries to put before you. You receive power to be able to maybe quiet your mouth when somebody's speaking to you in a bad way. You receive power when you're weak and you feel like this is my time to just get them back. I can really mess with them. I know their weakness. I know what they've gone through. Now the people that I work with, they all struggled with addiction. They all battled with it. Even my lead, he used to be strung out on drugs, strung out on alcohol. Now, if I'm not a Christian, I could sit there and make fun of him and make jokes and say all these wrong things to him. But just because you know somebody's weakness doesn't mean you need to speak on it. That's what happens when you put the breastplate of righteousness on. Because you choose to take a different path. You choose to take the path that God laid before you rather than your own. I put in here as a note when I was praying one night. I think sometimes we think if we just pray this prayer one time, you know, God, I just want you to put the armor on, the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to gird up my loins with truth. That it's just a one-time thing. But if you know anything about war, when you come back from war, your armor is damaged. When you come back from war, your armor is damaged. You might have got hit with a spear that day. And your shield didn't block it that day. And it dented your breastplate. Now if the next one hits, it could go through. And I put on here, I said, I think sometimes we as Christians, we change our armor like teenage boys change underwear. If you know anything about teenage boys, they can use underwear for 4 or 5 days. You flip it this way, inside out, backside in, and then it's been 5 days, so I can put that one back the regular way. It's the truth, whether you like to believe it or not. I played football, okay? I've seen guys use the same girdle for a month, okay, without washing it. But I think that we take our damaged armor and we walk into the workplace, and then when we get home, we're like, why was today so hard? Why was that person like, why did that cut deeper than it did 2 months ago when I was on fire for God? Well, it's because you've been wearing the same armor every day. And you haven't taken it into the prayer room and said, God, I need you to fix my righteousness. I need you to fix my thinking. I've been, for some reason, I can't understand why I've been lying. You haven't girded up your loins again and asked God to change them. You're struggling with faith. Your shield, you left it behind at the war. You came back home, but you left your stuff there. There's something powerful. When you go into the prayer closet and you say, God, I need you to fix this. I need you to fix my belief. Because for some reason now I'm doubting. Well, you left the helmet of salvation back. You're doubting. You're doubting now because you've lost your armor. And then when you go into the war the next time, you're not saving anybody, but you're hurting yourself every day. And every day you say, oh, I don't need to pray today because, you know, God knows that today was a busy day. I don't need to pray. No, you're damaging yourself. And when you walk out there and you try to save somebody, you try to help them, you're damaging them. Because now your mindset is messed up. Now your mindset isn't no longer on the truth because you left the helmet of salvation. You no longer have faith anymore than that God can do it. Now you're just speaking the words because you've heard somebody else preach it. You say, oh, it'll get better. It'll get better. But those people aren't feeling anything. When you say it'll get better because your faith is so low because you have never fixed that. Because you let it go because your prayer life is just still over there. One day I'll get back to it. If you keep telling yourself that, then your witness loses complete, it doesn't work anymore. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I don't have big words to say. But understand when your armor is damaged, it has no work or no use anymore. It can't help you. Once able to take somebody swearing in your face, the next time you won't. Once able to speak on the word of God and know verses like the back of your hand, the next time they're not there. It's not because God has lifted his hand off of you or God has left you and you're in this lone season where it's just you all alone. The devil would like you to believe that you're all alone, but you're not. There's countless people in the house of God. Maybe in the house of God today that struggle with this. They struggle going out into the world and trying to work a secular job to make sure that their families are okay, to make sure the bills are paid, to make sure that their kids can go to the school that they want them to go to. And we can get so caught up into the world and so caught up into the everyday life that we will totally forget about fixing our armor. And when we go out, we get destroyed. And when we get destroyed, we destroy people around us. And I want to encourage you. When you wake up in the morning, this is something I do now on my drive to work. I say, God, I want you to help me put this breastplate on. Because I know my flesh doesn't want me to. I know my flesh wants me to go back in there and say, listen, bro, don't talk to me like that. And probably give him a little piece of my mind. But I have to make sure that I understand that if I do that, I'm now saying I don't care about his soul. That might be harsh, but that is what it's saying. If I choose to live the way that I want to live rather than the way God wants me to live, I am choosing to send this person not towards God, but the opposite. I'm not going to say that you can send somebody to hell, but I can say this. You can persuade somebody by your actions, by the armor you're wearing, by the way that you walk, by the way that you talk. You can persuade them into coming into the house of God. You're not conning them because you understand that there is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the church. There's power. But you got to choose to put that armor on. God won't force you to put the armor on. God's not going to sit there at the doorstep while you walk out the door and say, hey, don't forget to put the armor. Hey, Jerome, don't. God's not going to do that. God is not your mom when you were in high school or in middle school and you forgot your lunchbox and she brought it to the school. God's not bringing the armor. When you enter into that war, you've entered into it. When you've entered into it, he's not bringing it to you. He doesn't bring it to the war ground, the battlefield. And it's difficult because your flesh doesn't want it. Your flesh does not want to be righteous. Your flesh does not want to live for God. It wants the opposite. It wants to have fun, even if it's temporal. It wants to be able to go out there and get back at anybody that tries to hurt you. Or anybody that tries to hurt you ever again. It wants to make sure that that never happens again. But if you gotta understand, as a child of God, you're gonna get hurt. You're gonna get hurt. There's gonna be days that you forget to put that breastplate on. There's going to be days that you start doubting, and it's probably going to be because you took the helmet off. But you need to understand this. Get back into the prayer closet. Put that helmet back on. Put the breastplate back on. Put the gird up your loins. Strap your shoes on. Get ready. Put the word of God in your hand. God gave you a sword. It's not to sit there and go into the workplace and say, well, the Bible says, da-da-da-da-da. The Bible says, da-da-da. The Bible says, rain, fire. Because nobody's going to listen to that. But when they start coming against you and they ask you, why didn't you come back at me? Why didn't you get me back? Now you got the sword. Now you have the word of God. And now you can answer those questions. Not in revenge, not in revenge, but now you can do it in love. I've had somebody ask me just recently, why didn't you get mad at me? When I did this to you, why didn't you get mad at me? Because Jesus wouldn't have got mad at you. And if I'm going to call myself a child of God, I got to understand. I got to act like it. I got to change the way that my mind thinks. When Pastor preached on Egypt, the message, not last Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, Egypt is watching. I was trying to think of the second word. I knew it was Egypt. But Egypt was watching. When he said that, well, sometimes we still have the mindset of Egypt. But we're in the church, like my mind, I immediately was like, Lord, what in my mind has me thinking like Egyptians? What in my mind, maybe not even be of you, maybe not even might be horrible as a Christian, but I need to change in myself so that when I go and encounter with somebody that my mind might go, oh, well, you know, that's just really bad. That's really wrong. I don't know if God can. No, God can hear you of that. I need God to change that in my mind. I need God to change maybe little small things that I grew up with, thinking that they were okay because my parents taught me that, and they were just of the culture of my household, but they weren't the culture of God. One thing I loved about Bishop Ellis when he taught in PI, he said that the culture of the apostolic faith or of Jesus is not multicultural. And in your mind, you instantly think, well, so you're saying that, you know, black people can't go to church with white people and Mexicans can't go to church with Asian people. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying that we shouldn't be like the world. You don't have to separate everything. Jesus's culture is one. Everybody should be in the same mindset as the way that Jesus walked. Everybody should be talking the way that Jesus talked. Teaching the way that Jesus taught. Jesus didn't walk up to people and condemn them and disrespect them and try to use the word against them and beat them over the head with the Bible, but instead he gave parables to help them understand. Taught them in the way of a testimony, basically. And that's why when I teach the youth kids, I say, your testimony is probably the most powerful thing that you can teach. Yes, the word of God is powerful, but when you can apply it to yourself, then you can teach it so much better. Because now I can say, you know what? I can understand what Job went through to an extent. When I got kicked out, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know where I was going to go. I didn't have anybody but the church. But I understood what Job went through. So then when somebody asked me, what do you do when you go through a time of just being all alone? I say, go to the church. Sit in the church service. If you got to be there for 7 days, ask the pastor what you can do. If you need to learn an instrument, get on the drums. God will show you. I never took an instrument lesson on how to play the drums. But I stayed going to the church because my buddies worked at the church. And I kept going. And eventually I just asked myself, I was like, you mind if I play on the drums? I could never play the drums. I never touched the drums a day in my life. But I sat there in that sanctuary and I continued to beat on those drums with music in my ears. And then eventually I said, you know what, God? I said, God, I need you to help me because I really want to learn this and I got nothing else to do. So I'm going to pray and play the drums. And eventually one day pastor walked through the sanctuary and he seen me sitting there and he goes, you're going to play tonight. Now me, I was like, Lord, I just want to play the drums. I wasn't saying to play in the service. But little did I know what was coming down the pipeline, how the church was going to change, the dynamic of the church was going to change. And there needed to be somebody that was going to fill the role of playing the drums. Even if it was something so small, God had to use somebody that was willing. And if you choose to be willing, if you choose to set yourself up for God to use you, He will use you. But you have to set yourself up. And the only way you set yourself up is by putting the armor of God on. That's the only way. Because in those moments, I can't tell you that when I didn't have anything but the church, I can't tell you that every day I was like, oh, God is great and this is going to be awesome and hey, today is a great day. Most of my buddies would tell you I battled with depression. Most of my buddies would tell you there were late nights where I just couldn't sleep. And I just laid there staring at the ceiling crying. Because my whole life, all my parents ever taught me is that you needed to have purpose. And your purpose was sports. Your purpose was this. Your purpose was college. Your purpose was... But God was just saying, listen, man, if you're really serious about me, if you're really serious about me, don't go to Bible college. You don't need to go to Bible college. You need to just go to the church. If you're at the church, I can use you. If you say I can use you, I'm going to use you here. If you say, hey, I'm open to learning the drums, then now God's going to fill you with the talent to be able to do so. But it takes you putting yourself there, putting your flesh aside, fixing the damaged armor. Am I saying that I'm some perfect person? I'm not. Because there are times where I'm at work and I have to go to Kenny and say, listen, Kenny, I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me. Because I don't know about y'all, but if somebody steps up in your face and they're spitting and slobbering and they're not preaching, I'm talking about cussing in your face, it's very hard for you to look at them and say, yes, sir. It's very hard. It's very hard not to go to somebody else and say, did you see what they did? They did this and they did this and they're a horrible person. It's very hard not to go run your mouth. And it takes a whole lot of submission, a whole lot of submission to keep that breastplate on. It takes a whole lot of submission to be able to keep your mouth shut in that moment and say, hey, brother, will you pray for me? Because I don't know if I can go another hour and I know I got 7 more hours here. So I'm here to encourage you. Put the armor of God on every morning. Because the life depends on it. And not just those out there, but yours. Your walk with God can get very destroyed very destroyed if you walk out onto that field without that armor. Because what's the first thing we'll do? First thing that people do are blame God. God, why would you send me here to this job? Why would you bless me with this pay? But I got to sit here and deal with this every day. That's the first thing we do is we blame God. But God didn't forget to put his armor on. God didn't forget. You did. We did. I did. I can't say I'm perfect. Because the one day I did finally say, listen, you don't need to talk to me like that. You don't. And I felt bad about it. I felt very bad about it. Because all I wanted to do was make sure that in myself, I just say, yes, sir. Because I don't want them to ever, ever have something bad to say about me. Not because I want to move up in the company, but because one day I want them to be in the house of God. And I don't want them ever to come in here and say, you know, I worked with that man, and that man wasn't this guy here at church. This guy's nice. This guy shakes my hand, but at work, he was rude. Even when I was mean to him, he was mean back. No, I want them to be able to come in here and say, hey, that guy, I cussed him out one day, and he looked at me and just said, yes, sir, and went on with his job. I want them to understand that I have to be a man of God. And the hard thing is the world thinks that Christians have to be weak. And that you just have to take everything. It's a hard thing to think of. I told Kenny this week, I said, it's hard. I don't know. I don't know what to say or how to say it. But just yes, sir. And yes, ma'am. And that's what I do. Because if I do anything else, I feel guilty. And I did feel guilty this week. But understand, put the armor of God on when you wake up in the morning. When you get home, when you pray at night and you take it off, say, God, I want you to fix this. Because this right here, somebody dented this today. And I want to make sure that when I wake up tomorrow, that I'm going out tomorrow with a brand new shield or a brand new helmet or a brand new breastplate. That's all I have for you. If you just stand, just lift your hands. We're going to pray all together. Lord, we're thankful for you, Lord. God, I pray right now, Lord, over each and every person in this building, Lord. Lord, that they've been encouraged, Lord, to put the armor on that you've given us. God, I understand the world is a hard place. The world is a harsh place and wants nothing more than to just destroy us, Lord. Lord, and the devil's at work just trying to hurt us in some form or some fashion. Understanding, knowing our weaknesses and still tries to play on them. God, I pray, Lord, that as they put the armor of God on and they walk into their workplace, they walk into their schools or that same grocery store, Lord, I pray, God, that they would be able to show a change, Lord, and that somebody would be able to see it, God, and that they would be able to be able to ask them, why are you not cussing back at me, Lord? Why are you not trying to fight me? And then they can answer, because I'm a child of God. Because I shouldn't act like that, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them on their weak days, Lord. On the days, God, that they fast, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them in those days. God, I praise you and I worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
If you'd like to come to the altar and pray and worship, you're more than welcome. Amen.
In the name, let's just praise the Lord. Jesus, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power, there is power. In the name of Jesus, there is power. In the name of Jesus, there is power. In the name of Jesus, to break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there is power, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army, there's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every, oh yes, there's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. To break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break everything, break every chain, break every chain.
Falling. Yes, I hear them falling.
I hear those chains falling.
Yes, I hear them falling.
I hear those chains falling.
I hear those chains falling.
Oh, I see them falling. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain,
scripture to you, and I want us to pray. I appreciated what Brother Jerome had to say. While he was speaking, I thought of the scripture. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Oftentimes, we only hear the part of the scriptures that we like. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, which means really purchased people. Why are we those things? Why are we a chosen generation? Why did He choose us? That you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now I want to say something, and I won't try to add anything to, but the number one problem in the church is people are trying to hold on to their past and trying to live for the Lord. And that's not, it's not possible. It'll never work. You'll never be what God has called you to be. Never. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, so that you can show forth the praises of Him who's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. It is our God-given obligation to show the praises, the mercy, the hand of God in our lives to the world around us. Until we learn to make our flesh a subject of ours, and we know to where we're no longer a slave to the flesh, you'll never be able to show forth His praises in your life. Does that make any sense to you? When you can turn the other cheek, when someone can get in your face, and you can still maintain your witness, that's showing forth the praises. And I agree with you, Brother Jerome. Someday, somebody will talk about that if they're not already. And they'll say, man, I don't know how. I felt bad. I was right up in his face and he still maintained his composure. Why? Because he's trying to show forth the praises of Him who has called him out of darkness into His marvelous light. There's got to be a crucifixion of the flesh. We cannot continue to hold on to the desires of the flesh, the will of man, and please and fulfill the will of God. You can't do it. We become unstable. Unstable people are unrooted people. Nothing that is not rooted cannot grow. You cannot have 2-3 churches. You cannot have 2 or 3 pastors. You can't bounce back and forth. That's not roots. You cannot grow when you don't have roots. It is impossible. The things of God are clearly seen. I read this morning through His creation. Somebody go out there after service. See that big tree right outside that window? I want you to try to move it. Good luck. You know the only way you can move it? You got to cut it down. But when we are not rooted, you can't grow. You can't grow. The reason Jerome was able to share that message and that testimony is because he has planted himself. That's why he was able to preach that. And he has humbled himself and he has submitted himself. And that's, you can have that type of testimony when you do that. And I feel like sometimes, and I'm not going to keep going, so don't worry, but I feel like sometimes, you know, we want the icing and we don't want the cake. You know, as a kid, every kid dives for the icing first. The cake's not appealing. It's just soft and fluffy and a little dry sometimes, depending on who makes it. But the icing is full of sugar and flavor. You cannot be a holy people if you won't show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of dark. Our lives have got to become a testimony. I want us to pray that the Lord will help us to receive and live what Brother Jerome shared with us today. And you have to understand, you cannot have a testimony If you don't walk through some dark places and teach yourself to deny your flesh. You just can't have it. And I believe, if you're sitting here, I do believe you want a testimony. Testifying is not going and telling somebody about Jesus. That's not a testimony. Everybody and anybody can do that. A testimony is your life being on display for the people of the world to see it. And that's hard. It's harder in this generation. It's hard. But guess what? It still works. Our testimonies speak louder than our words. People have to see the change in us. They've got to see the change. Am I boring you yet? Good. They have to see the change in us. Change is what speaks to people. Change. Transformation. And when they see that, now they're going to be interested in what you got. That's a fact. So, I want us to pray. Brother Troy, come up, and I want you to pray for us. That the Lord, that we will allow the Lord to perpetrate. Now listen to me. If you would, just hear me for 13 more seconds. I don't care where you are in your walk with God. I want you to pretend just for the next 5 seconds that you're lost. And then for the next 10 seconds, I want you to ask God to change you. So your life is a greater witness and a testimony than it's ever been before. Because that is our obligation for Him. It's not about what I want and who I am. It's about what He wants me to be. So I can be the light for His glorious gospel. Amen.
Would you lift your hands and start to pray that prayer? Lord Jesus, God, we're asking You to help make us a better example, Lord Jesus. Lord, that as we leave this place, that we become more intentional than we've ever been of being a light to this world, of showing our righteousness to this world, of showing our salvation and our testimony to this world, that we walk in peace, that we are girt about with truth, that we have faith, that we walk in the Spirit, that the Word of God is ever present with us at all times, that we are a living epistle known and read of all men, that we can show this world, hallelujah, that we don't just live this thing by accident. We live it intentionally. We live it, we breathe it, Lord Jesus. And we don't just live it behind the pulpit when we come. Lord, when we come to the house of God, we live it out there. Every second of every day, we live to please You. To show people, Lord Jesus, that we are who You say we are. That we're called, that we're sanctified, set apart from this world. A holy generation, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Called out of the darkness into Your marvelous light. In Jesus' name, help us to be that witness, the best witness that we can be. The best Christian that we can be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. You can keep praying if you want to. Hallelujah.